In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Begin by preparing our hearts to hear God's word, to be that good soil, to prepare our hearts to receive spiritual food that brings eternal life. We prepare our hearts by, at the beginning, as we always do, examining our conscience, letting God know that we are aware that we have failed in faith and hope and love. That we want to purify ourselves so that we can give God worship in spirit and truth.
You were sent to heal the contrite. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
You came to call sinners. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer, for you alone are the
Let us pray. Almighty Father, the love you offer always exceeds the furthest expression of our human longing, for you are greater than the human heart. Direct each thought, each effort in our life, so that the limits of our faults and weaknesses may not obscure the vision of your glory, or keep us from the peace you have promised. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I'd like to invite the children who are here who would like to participate in their own presentation of the Word of God to come forward now. We'd like to see who you are. Don't leave yet. We'd like to see who you are, all the children who are coming to church. You give us encouragement by your joy and big smiles like that. May the Lord open your hearts to receive his word. May Jesus, who welcomed children, work in your life so that you will know his joy in speaking to you. May the Lord bless you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. Standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak till midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is, His Excellency, and Ezra the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad, and do not weep." For all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. He said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks, and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be sad in this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many. You are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our first reading is from the book of Nehemiah. What can you tell me about the book of Nehemiah? You talk about it at home all the time, right? What was going on in the book of Nehemiah? The background to this reading, knowing the answer to the questions I asked, is essential to understand what our first reading is about. It's an important time in the history of the people of Israel. This is how Carl Olson describes it. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell the story of the restoration of the Jews to the promised land after the Babylonian exile. Okay, so we have the patriarchs, you have Moses delivering them from Egypt, they get into the promised land. We have Saul, David, Solomon, the kings after that aren't very good. They get in all kinds of trouble. The people of God are exiled. They're driven out. They're conquered and driven out of the Holy Land. The temple is destroyed. The Holy Land's a waste. They go to Babylon. They're there for a long time, hundreds of years, and God called them back. The many years spent by the dislocated people of God in Babylon had a profound effect on the attitude and identity of the Jewish people. How do you think they fared in captivity? It's estimated that of the 2 to 3 million Jews given permission to return home, less than blank took up the offer. What do you think? 2 to 3 million Jews in Babylon? How many took up the trek? Scholars estimate around 50,000. It's not a high percentage, is it? Peter Kreft says, we usually prefer comfort to freedom. Life in Babylon had been comparatively easy, but the trek to Jerusalem was 900 miles long. Not only that, but once they arrived, they faced a ruined land, city, and temple, and the formidable task of rebuilding. Would you have been one of those who made the trek? Babylon was a thriving world city, one of the dominant cities in the world at the time, cosmopolitan and relatively comfortable. The 50,000 had to travel 900 treacherous miles to a very uncertain future. Why would they do that? To rebuild the temple, to worship God, to reclaim the inheritance God had given them. So our reading today describes these dedicated folks who made it back to Jerusalem. And this is the solemn assembly. And Ezra had a great and precious gift to reveal to them. They had preserved the Torah. And Ezra opened the scroll. And the people raised their hands and cried, Amen. They were so glad to see and to hear the word of God. And they bowed down and lay prostrate. While Ezra taught them from daybreak to midday. And you thought I was long. And hearing the word of God, the people responded with sorrow. And they were weeping. Because they heard all the things they were doing that they should not be doing. They heard all that they were not doing that they should be doing. And when they heard what the Lord said he would do to such people, they were very upset. And Ezra did something they did not expect. He told them that what they were doing and hearing the word of God was a good thing, that it pleased the Lord that they wanted now to obey him. He said, to celebrate this great occasion, they had made it back from exile. Even though their land was in a ruin, they were together and they were under God. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the word of the Lord for today. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He told the returning exiles to let the joy of the Lord be their strength. As they looked upon their crumbled temple, he said, the joy of the Lord can be your strength. As they looked upon their ruined and devastated land, he reminded them that the joy of the Lord could be their strength. As they contemplated the vast job of rebuilding, Ezra the priest stood before the people and declared to them, confident in the Lord, let the joy that this world cannot give be supernatural aid to your challenged hearts. Does that remind you of any place we've been hearing about lately? How much news from Haiti have you seen in the last 2 weeks? CNN for a while was all Haiti all the time. Our impromptu collection last year netted over $5,000. No envelopes, no advance warning, our biggest second collection in a long time. Let's pray that it will do the good we intend. But in the midst of all the disaster coverage, something caught my attention. Did you notice? It was numerous reports of spontaneous singing and praying. It often began early in the morning and continued throughout the night. This is one person who was blogging. Another aftershock. Those must have been terrifying. People are screaming, freaking out. Much singing and praying in large numbers. It's 8:44. Darkness. No electricity. And we're still getting aftershocks. This was in the first 24 hours. I can hear people gathered in the distance singing and praying. The singing and praying is getting more intense. You have to believe in circumstances like that. From what I'm hearing, this is worse than anybody is imagining. They didn't know yet all that had happened. Beginning to hear helicopters now. I predict massive emigration, no homes, no jobs, no medical treatment. If your home is destroyed and your workplace is destroyed and your neighborhood is destroyed, then what? What are the poor supposed to do? No homes, no jobs, no savings, no medical attention. Bodies half buried everywhere. Singing, praying, clapping hands. The sun is setting. Another night of darkness. Death is all around. Singing, praying, and clapping hands. There were stories of Haitian churches outside of Haiti where Haitians gathered who had lost family members, who couldn't find out what was going on with their loved ones. These churches were packed. This is from Montreal. After some initial gathering, the church itself became one big tower of song, and all the singing was a local echo of something the reporters in Port-au-Prince had found extraordinary. In the middle of the night, you can hear people singing. Many of those with nowhere to go and nothing to do simply sit down and start singing. A lot of people ask, why were they doing this? But it's our Haitian culture. Song for us is a kind of prayer. There's a story of the 69-year-old Roman Catholic woman who said she prayed constantly for over 1 week buried under the rubble. Asked what she did, she said, "I only talked to my boss, God." What would you have done? These are some words from a Haitian church in Grand Rapids, that Haitian songs that they were singing for themselves and for their loved ones in Haiti. "You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope of the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are." There's no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. What was gathering them? People asked. Something stronger than pain brings them to church. It's the same thing that brought them through untold hardships already in Haiti. It's what huddled Haitians together around the ruined cathedral in which the bishop died. It's faith in God, a faith that gives them strength and hope and tells them God is here with them now. I think sometimes the cultural arrogance and perceived superiority of the West, the secular West, is breathtaking. How would New York City have responded? How would Detroit, Dearborn Heights? They've responded like this. Can we learn? Can we learn something from them? Can such poor people teach us something? What would you have done if you had lost what they lost? Sometimes I wonder, does the Lord need to take our abundance away? Do we need an earthquake to know, to live, that the joy of the Lord is our true strength? Do you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength? It begins with true repentance, seeing ourselves truly, not rationalizing our weaknesses and our sins. Listen to the words of David from Psalm 51. This was his response after being caught in adultery by the prophet Nathan. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Now there is the great devastation. Exiled from the presence of God. The hope of heaven. The confidence of eternal life. Do not cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. The joy of the Lord has to begin with a brutal honesty that impels us to God, never to push us down, always to lift us up. But to see ourselves truly and acknowledge our dependence, our very breath, on His grace. Joy is the fruit of heartfelt abandonment. What Jesus said at the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, that picture over there, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus told the parable of the pearl of great price. Pearl merchant found the perfect pearl. And what did he do to get that great pearl? He sold all his other pearls just so that he could have that pearl. The treasure in the field is discovered. And the man, it says, with joy goes and sells everything for the joy of having that great treasure. He knows, even in selling all, unconditional surrender to God and His will, that precisely and only in that is great joy. What a deal. It's something each and every one of us can do time and again. Joy comes from the companionship we find in prayer. daily prayer, disciplined prayer, a habit, so that we have what we need when we need it. Because it's going to be hard to find if we don't have it already. It's knowing the truth of Jesus saying, I don't call you servants. It's not just what you can do. I call you my friends. I like just being with you. Do we know that consolation? Paul says in Ephesians 3, I pray that he may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with the power of his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that we might abide in Christ, that we might be rooted and grounded in love. Paul says, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend. We need God's help to even get it. I pray that you have power to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. All knowledge is meant to lead us to this great treasure. God's strength comes from eating the bread of life, which we're invited to do here, but doing so with faith, doing what Paul says, discerning the presence of the Lord, consciously knowing what we are entering into and with whom we are being fed. Jesus says, don't toil for what doesn't satisfy. He says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what we most deeply hunger and thirst for, true food and true drink. You know Jesus, who the gospel says brings good news to the poor in spirit, those who know their poverty apart from him. Do you know Jesus, who can set you free? From those captive and oppressed. Do you know Jesus, who can help you walk by the light of faith and see the spiritual realities that surround us? I'll give sight to the blind. Is Jesus so close to you? Is Jesus so precious to you that you would sing to him in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of despair, and in the darkness of destruction? Is Jesus so precious to you that you would find joy in singing to him? What could possibly be more important than this strength and this joy of knowing Jesus like this? Our first song today said, the Lord is my strength and my song. Almost taken directly from this first reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra's words to the assembled people of God. Ask Sean to lead us now, just singing meditatively. Again, the first verse of our opening hymn. Let Jesus be your strength and your joy.